Former CFL quarterback, now analyst on TSN 1040 in Vancouver, Julio Caravata joins us. Julio, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Jace. How you doing, bud?
I am excellent. Now, you know what? You started games. You started as a backup. You came in relief. You got pulled. Matt Nichols got pulled in a game where he actually wasn't even playing that bad. I know they hadn't scored any points, but he was 17 of 25 with four drop balls in the rain and had 200 yards. It was actually one of his better games when I look at his overall picture. He got pulled from that game, and he was so upset afterwards. He left the facility. They had to call him to come back to talk to the media. As a quarterback who's gone through it, should you expect a guy to be this upset? Do you have to calm yourself down an hour later? What do you make of that?
Well, I think that, one, that you love the competitiveness and you love the desire to wanting to be in there. And, I think that, rightfully so. He like you said, he wasn't playing poorly. But I do think, I've heard Chris Jones talk about this, that, you've got to have a certain amount of you got to have thick skin as a quarterback. And you also have to realize that there are times during the game where, you may get pulled out of a game, or from a strategic standpoint, you're using another quarterback because as a coach, you feel showing that quarterback may create an advantage for you. In the end, what everybody needs to realize is that, did you win? And if you win the game, ultimately, that's what your concern is. And I get the idea that he was upset, and that's fine and dandy. But I also think that you have to be happy that you had a young man get into the game, throw three touchdowns, and you were ultimately able to win the football game. That's what you should be most happy about.
Matt, did you get a sense, though, that maybe, the team doesn't trust the guy that much? Like, that, from my vantage point, I'm saying if that's Mike Riley, I don't think there's any chance he's getting pulled in that situation.
Yeah, I can see that, but at the same time, the coaching staff is going to do what they feel is best, right? And Franklin, to me, looks like a guy that they have a tremendous amount of – there's a tremendous amount of excitement around him and his skill set and what he can bring to the table. I saw him in preseason, I loved him in preseason. I thought he was fantastic, and I was just like, wow, they're going to have to try to find a way to get this guy on the field. Well, obviously losing Mike Riley, now having Matt Nichols, we see the way quarterbacks are going down. It's not just about your starting quarterback, but what you have behind him and creating depth. And if you have those opportunities where you can get a young guy into the game, develop him, give him more confidence that, God forbid anything happens to Matt Nichols, that at least they have, now a kid who's gone into the games and knows what it feels like, because you have to prepare for those scenarios. And we've seen it over and over and over again throughout the league about how teams are losing quarterbacks and having to go down almost to their third quarterback. So you can't expect to have success in this league if you're not giving your quarterback some confidence and an opportunity to play in games, because when you do need them, you need them to be ready to make that next step.
Nichols was 17 of 25 for 200 yards, 196. Yeah. Wasn't bad. Franklin comes in, he goes 5 of 8 for 87 yards and three touchdowns, and his three incompletions were actually pretty bad. He just missed wide open receivers, but those type of numbers are virtually impossible to match, where you're going to go 5 of 8 for 87 yards and three touchdowns. But it changes the perception and gives a lot of confidence to fans, but more importantly to the teammates, that, man,
yes,
this kid's got some playmaking ability.
Absolutely. And that's why I think that Chris Jones did a very smart thing, and by using him, right? Like, again, I understand why Matt was upset. There's no question. I think every quarterback would be upset. But at the, and everybody wants to take every snap of every game. So, but at some point, you have to realize that winning the game is the most important thing. And ultimately, what your head coach is doing is, his concern is about the team and about the winning games and moving forward and securing a future for the franchise with quarterbacks and keeping developing. It doesn't matter if it's a quarterback. It could be receivers, a defensive lineman, offensive lineman. It's about developing and trusting what you believe in as a personnel guy and seeing a player and you think, oh, he's got a certain amount of potential. Now we have to see that potential brought to life on the field in real games. And you have to develop and nurture that talent. And doing it the way that he did, I think, is exceptional. Now, frankly, he's got to think to himself, he's got all the confidence in the world now moving forward, right? You played him for 8 snaps. He goes in there and or for 8 throws, he goes in there and has a lot of success. And that's a building block now. Now you can move to the next step, and hopefully he can take a little bit more. But it's only going to benefit the Edmonton Eskimos when you have that kind of talent, at the quarterback position moving forward.
Gil Caravata joins us, analyst for the BC Lions, a former CFL quarterback. You look at Franklin, and it's so early, and it's really hard to evaluate any sport, any position on such a small sample size for a player. But what do you see when you see him as a quarterback?
Well, I see a certain calmness to his game that, the moment and the situation isn't too big. And I think the fact that he played at a big program like Missouri is obviously a huge step in that direction. But I just love the fact that, he's a guy who's got one, he's got an exceptional arm. But I love watching young quarterbacks, and the Lions have one in Jonathan Jennings. And I know that a guy like Trevor Harris, who's been around a little bit longer, but shows the same kind of poise that when they get in there and they have to move around, they use their feet to create time to look downfield. They can use their feet to run, but they're always looking downfield to make a play downfield. I think a lot of young quarterbacks have that tendency to make one read, and if it's not there, boom, they're going to start running around with their head cut off. It only comes with more and more time. Certain kids have that ability there's a certain calmness to them. And you talked about the idea of having your teammates and the confidence around. That's a huge factor as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that belief that when you walk in the huddle, that as they stare at their leader, at the quarterback, the guy they know they need to have, clicking in all cylinders, that they've got a chance to win. And those guys, I think they believe in Franklin now that they can do that, and that's a huge positive.
Mike Riley was clearly the leader of this team. His teammates have talked about it. Vocal guy, would do whatever it was. And Nichols is more of a reserve guy. It doesn't make him any less competitive, but he's not a big rah-rah speaker type of guy. When you're replacing that guy, I know you always have to be yourself, but, when Adarius Bowman's dropping two passes that are clearly, right in his hands, like, at what point do you think Nichols has to say, hey, man, pull your you-know-what out of your rear end and let's get going here? Like, do you find that to do that and maybe kind of step out of your comfort zone to look upon as more of a leader?
Well, I think that that's something that, every quarterback, I think, has to spend a lot of time figuring out the player, right? I think that's part of the psychology that goes into being, I think, a great quarterback is understanding what makes the people around you tick. And, it may be the kind of situation where if a guy drops a ball that you don't need to say anything to him, but you need to throw another ball his way, to show him that you're not losing confidence in him. There's other guys that you feel that you got to go over and grab by the shirt collar and say, hey, listen, get your head out of your rear end and get it together. It's a psychology. Not every guy is going to react to yelling and screaming. Some guys will tune you out. Some guys won't. Some guys you need to stroke and you need to make sure that you keep their confidence up. Other guys you can yell at. That's all part of the psychology of playing the position. I think one of the guys that I played with that was better than anybody, and you know him very well, is Danny McManus. McManus had a great knack of knowing, who he could yell at. And Danny wasn't a yeller and a screamer, but there were times where he would, scream and yell at a guy to kind of, come on, we need you. That was as far as it went, but other guys he knew he couldn't do that with. And I think the same could be said for all these young quarterbacks. It's an art form to understand the psychology of the people you play around and what makes them tick. And that's getting to know them on and off the field and trying to, push the right buttons when needed.
Julio, how has Travis Lule looked for the Lions?
For the most part, I thought he's looked excellent. I will say that the way he started the game against the Toronto Argonauts was outstanding, having, getting out to a 21-0 lead. But it just goes to show you, how quickly things can change, because it really seemed that after that quarter, he was confused by what he saw. And the Argonauts did a tremendous job, I thought, in the secondary of just playing way more aggressive and getting up in the receivers' faces and taking a lot of throws away. But for the most part, to this point, for a guy who only played one game last year, he's looked outstanding. I think that, the Lions are happy to have their star quarterback back, and they all know that if he stays healthy, that they're going to have a chance week in and week out with him pulling the trigger.
I wanted to ask because the first 2 weeks, man, like he was on fire, had over 700 passing yards,
yeah.
But the last two games, you know, less than 200 passing yards in each game, only 127 against the Riders, and then 165. You mentioned it was up 21-0, and I don't know, it's not always on the quarterback, but you know what, you need a starting quarterback in the CFL to be getting you close to 250 a game.
Yeah. Well, the game in Saskatchewan, I think the first half, I think the weather had a huge factor on his ability to throw the ball downfield. So the numbers were, I think, were skewed by the weather. But last week, you know, it was clearly, you know, I thought his worst game of the year as far as decision making and throwing the ball downfield. He started out a house of fire and then, you know, it just all seemed to slip away. And this is a young football team that in the last few weeks has learned that, you know, in a football game, you can never give up because you always have a chance, and to be able to come back against Saskatchewan at home and then win in overtime proved that, it's never too late to win a game and you can never give up. And then they learned another valuable lesson last week in that you get out to a 21-point lead that no lead is safe and that you've got to play 60 minutes. You got to play smart football. And they made a lot of mistakes. I think mentally they lost the edge when they were up 21-0. They thought it was going to be a cakewalk, and they ended up paying for it with a loss. So they've learned a couple of valuable lessons early, and hopefully, you know, as the season progresses and the games become obviously more important, that they can draw from that experience.
Julio, always great to talk to you, man. We'll see you again soon. Appreciate it.
I hope so. Thanks, Jace. Appreciate it.